This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Taylor Swift saw a Taylor's Version project. Re-recording her earlier albums has been a huge chart success, but it's also given her a chance to refine some of her earlier work, updating some of the lyrics to better match who she is as a person now. And one of the most talked about updates was the change Taylor made to Better Than Revenge from her album, which is called Speak Now. And here's the first two lines of the actual original chorus. Have a listen. She's not a saint and she's not what you think. She's an actress. Whoa. She's better known for the things that she does on the mattress. Whoa. Now it's been re-recorded. Here's the updated lyric from Better Than Revenge, Taylor's version. Now the first line is the same, but the second line changes. So the second line in the first version was, she's better known for the things that she does on the mattress. Let's have a listen to the new version. So in this part of a conscious effort to update Taylor's image for 2023, or just a more honest version of her story, is it? Well, joining us to talk about it is Rani Tesserun, PhD candidate at the University of Queensland. Rani, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you for having me.
Are you a Swiftie?
Yeah, I think you could call me a Swiftie.
What do you make of that lyric change? I mean, it's a pretty different lyric.
It's really different. I think in ways it's clever and in ways I'm a little bit disappointed. So I think it's clever because it has that similar sort of rhythm to it, but the rhyme isn't as effective. And then I think that it's like a little bit disappointing because it is a changed lyric in the sense that it feels maybe like she's hiding what she felt at the time.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I was thinking about this today. I mean, we all do things and we say things and what have you, and we can't go back and erase them. And to me, it almost feels inauthentic that Taylor has gone back and erased something that perhaps someone could say, you know, is a bit shaming of particular people. But she's gone and erased it. So I've never, ever, it was never sung. I never said it. But it's not the case.
Well, it's interesting because obviously, the original recording of Speak Now is still available. You can still buy that record. You can still listen to it on Spotify, and it's there and it's played around. But her Taylor's version is different, and she has control over that one. So both versions are there. Like, we've just listened to them. You can still access them. And it is kind of a question of whether or not you'll always have access to the original version of the song, which is why I think it's also a little bit clever, because you can go back and it becomes a signifier of the way her thought process about that has changed. Because ultimately, the message is the same in the song, right? Like, she's angry at this girl for stealing the boy or seducing him, but instead of shaming her for her, you know, sort of sexual activities, she's blaming her specifically for seducing, which is the same narrative because she's still stealing the boy, but it sends a different underlying message to the young girls that are listening to her. Or even just the young people that are listening to her music.
How does it change her public image?
So that's an interesting one, because it sort of suggests that now she is almost condemning that part of herself from the past. She's like publicly saying, hey, that's not what I believe anymore. I've chosen to change the lyric so that it better fits with what I think the attitude is now around those things. And we sort of, without knowing what's going on in her head, would assume that that's a representation of her own thoughts, but it very well could be just that that's how she wants to be presented. I'm of the opinion that I want to think the best in people, so I'm like, yeah, that's what she believes. I don't want to be here saying, you know, she's just doing that so that she always stays, quote-unquote, good in people's eyes, which is something that she's sort of openly expressed that she has, that she always wants to be perceived as good.
I love your optimism, a true Swiftie.
I think it's just that I want, like, I just want to think that all people are positive and not at all, like,
which is fabulous.
Negative. Yeah.
We're chatting with Rani Tesserun, PhD candidate at the University of Queensland, about Taylor Swift's image makeover. Rani, the eyes of the world are on her at the moment, and it's not something she's doing secretly. Normally, growth is seen as a good thing. Why are some people reacting negatively to this change?
Well, I think part of it is because some people would read it as a, just a, like you said earlier, an erasing of where she was, and like this chance to completely like sweep that under the rug. I was never like that. I could never be like that. But also, you know, maybe some people are grumpy because they're so used to singing the original lyric.
Oh, they have to change it.
I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, that's not right. That's not the lyric. Surely I have not misremembered this. Like, this was a big album when I was a teenager. But I think mostly it's that question of like, well, if we allow that, then where is the line drawn? You know, it becomes a bigger question of censorship, and also just which leads into like the image that she puts forward. And maybe we don't want to fully believe that celebrities are putting forward a like curated image of themselves, you know?
And also, you know, like I said before, we all have a past and we learn from that past. And I suppose being able to remember and see what you've written or what you've done enables you to say, hey, look, I've actually grown from where I was back at that point of time. And I think for me, that's what it means.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I go back and look through like journals that I've kept from different, you know, throughout my life, like going back and reading over those, I'm thinking, oh God, oh no. Like,
we might have to get them on the air.
But then in other ways, it's just kind of like, oh, actually I have come really far and I've grown a lot as a person and I am really proud of that. But the other thing is like she's re-recording these albums for herself first and foremost, because she wants the rights to them and she deserves to have the rights to them. She wrote them. So it does sort of fall in line with this idea of like, well, okay, this is fully me now, so I'm going to put fully me into it.
And that's a good point.
The album was always fully her anyway.
Let's talk about Taylor's single. She went to number one in Australia with All Too Well, a 10-minute version. Now, you know, I think it was called Taylor's Version from the Vault, which is an absolute mouthful. It added another 6 minutes to the original song. Do you reckon that's too long?
Okay, so as a fan of progressive rock, no, it's absolutely not too long. As a pop hit, clearly it wasn't too long. People loved it. People lapped it up. And it didn't feel like it was too long. I think that's the important thing with music. It's like you could have a song that's 2 minutes long and it would be, and if it feels too long, it's too long. But you could have a song that's 10 minutes long that doesn't feel long, so it isn't long. My like sort of opinion on time with music is not that it's too long. From maybe a radio perspective, yeah, 10 minutes is too long.
Definitely. I mean, one of my criticisms of some of the new material coming out is it's too short. So I'm a believer that, yeah, if it can be a bit longer, the better. I mean, they can always have a radio version. But you don't reckon there's a risk of being swifted out from more long songs?
I don't know. I think that's like a personal opinion. I think for me, you know, Speak Now and Red, but particularly Speak Now was like a really big album when I was younger. And so to have more of it is like great for me. But then there are other albums that I don't really just like love the same way there are other albums of other bands that I adore that I just, yeah, I could do without sort of thing.
Right.
But I can see how you would easily get Swiftied out.
Look, we'll have to get you back and read out your journals from years ago. That'd be interesting. Maybe I can read out mine as well. I've still got some actually packed away. I'm too scared to open them.
Mine are in a box under the bed.
Rani, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That is Rani Tessaram, PhD candidate at the University of Queensland.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.